There's a story about a wise old man who always had a good response to people who asked him anything. Once a prankster comes to him and he has his hands covering something he was holding. He told the sage that he had a small, newly hatched bird in his hands. He challenged this older man to tell him whether the bird was alive or dead. And of course, he had planned to prove the old gentleman wrong, because if he had said the bird was dead, he would simply open his hands and expose a perfectly healthy baby bird. But if he said the bird was alive, then he would crush the bird before opening his hands. The wise man proved wiser than he thought. He said, "The bird is whatever you choose him to be." The bird is whatever you choose him to be. And that's exactly the way it is with our faith in God, isn't it? God gives us the faith, but it is what we choose to do with it. The choice is ours. What do you choose? Here is Jesus talking about seed. I call it the bird seed parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Jesus said he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path or the sidewalk, and the birds came and ate it up. Some of the seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprung up quickly, but then the sun came and the plants were scorched. And they withered away because they had no root to them. The other seeds fell on thorny ground. The thorns choked the growing plants, but some of them fell on the good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. "He who has ears," said Jesus, "let him hear." He who has ears, let him hear. And as you look at the front, at the bulletin cover, there's little sayings about attitude, and, attitude is everything. Attitude. The soil. This is the time of the year that you planted the gardens. I don't know if you have a vegetable garden or a flower garden, or you do a mass farming like corn and beans and so forth. But I want you this morning to step back and imagine a garden. Imagine the garden. In Luke 8:11, Jesus said, "The seed is the word of God." Now, Jesus compares that seed to the kingdom of God. You know, I want you to think of when did you receive your seed? When was that sown? Was it during your baptism? Was it during confirmation? Was it a revival or a time that you really connected with the Lord, that you felt God's seed falling on your ground? Has that seed taken root and produced fruit in your life? The very purpose of a seed is to produce fruit. The Word of God produces the fruit in children of God. 1 Peter 23 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. God's seed. What kind of a soil has it been for you? I want you to look back at your journey, your Christian walk, and figure out what kind of a soil, you know, since the seed fell on the ground in your heart, what kind of a soil has it been? You know, people are exposed to this word Jesus is teaching, and the message goes through one ear and out the other. Has that been your experience? Or the others who've received the word but are stubborn to take it in? Has that been in your life? The message never had a chance to grow, to root in, to produce. And there are other soils who are interested, but they are burdened with other concerns. And soon those concerns choke out the seed that has been planted on your soil. And there are others, of course, I'm sure, with a lot of care. I mean, if you have a garden, you know what that looks like. I mean, there are weeds. You've got to water. I mean, if it doesn't rain like it has been this summer, you have to nurture. You have to give them the food, spray for the bugs, and yes, that yields, as the scripture says, 30, 60, 90, 100%. So what kind of a soil has it been? Has the seed that Jesus scattered, the seed that fell upon your soil, has it taken root? Has it produced fruit? Don't we all want fruit? I mean, we plant things. Maybe, I don't know if that's how you do. But you want to harvest something, right? I mean, if you plant tomatoes, you want tomatoes end of the summer. You plant beans, you want beans. I mean, you plant rose bushes, you want roses. You don't want just a shrub. Well, I mean, if you planted a shrub, maybe it's a beautiful shrub, you want it to look beautiful, fruitful. Has it been fruitful? Has the seed grown? What is it like with the attitude of your heart? People do have a choice. You know, you either crush the seed or you let it grow. Here is a way to put it in simple terms. You know, the attitude that we have. The path where the birds come and take it away. I call it the I don't care attitude. No, I don't care. Have you heard that? Oh, I don't care. I don't care. Or the rocky soil. Little soil, not enough soil to take root. The sun quickly scorches it out. It's kind of an attitude of, I got it, but it's not for me. You know, I got it, but I don't know. It's not for me. The thorns choked this plant. It's kind of an attitude of, I got it, I want it, but I'm too busy right now. I mean, we've all said that, right? I crave for it, I want it, but, you know, not right now. I never
happens. Or Jesus explains the good soil. I got it. I want it. Thank God for it. I got it. I want it. I craved for it. And I thank the Lord for the gifts and graces that God has put in me. And I'm able to be fruitful. So where are you? What kind of a soil? How have you nurtured your baptism? I don't care, soil. Let me just kind of go in there. In 1973, Gary Kindle wrote the first popular operating system for personal computers named CPM. Now, Jeff, I'm not a computer guy, so... maybe I'm not saying it all right, but something called CPM. Anyway, IBM approached Kindle in 1980 about developing the operating system for IBM's PCs. But Kindle snubbed IBM officials at a crucial meeting. The day IBM came calling, he chose not to be there. He probably said, I don't care. He chose not to be there, but instead went flying on his new plane. No? The frustrated IBM executives turned instead to Bill Gates, founder of a small software company called Microsoft, and his operating system named MS-DOS. Microsoft made history, as you know. Gary Kindle had an attitude problem, I call it. He did not realize when opportunity knocked at his door. And so it is with our faith. Some people just don't care. They are flying off in a plane somewhere when somebody is knocking at your doorstep. They miss their big opportunity. They never quite make it. They say, I don't care. They wonder why their lives are so complicated, so incomplete. Some people never find that satisfaction that comes from knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. They are so unhappy with their lives that they don't see the hope that Jesus brings, the love, the joy, the peace He brings into your life. They just don't get it. So they say, I don't care. I don't care. They're not willing to explore. Hebrews 4:7 says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. That's the rocky soil. Little soil, but it's hard to put the roots down. People respond. They say, I got it, but it's not for me. It's not for me. There are people who have been exposed to the gospel, think they understand the gospel, but consciously choose to go off in another path. They want to do exactly what they have planned to do on their own. They don't want to pray because if they prayed, God might reveal them and send them in a different direction. So they don't want to even pray because they've already planned what they want to do. They don't want to even explore their gifts. I know. When we did the gift surveys, you know, someone said, oh boy, I don't want to even take it. I don't want to take the gift survey because, whoops, what happens if I find out my gifts? I have to use them. They're afraid to even take the gift survey to find out their God-given gifts.
Jesus says in verse 21, these plants have no roots. Now the source of life in any plant is the root system. A plant that has a leaf but no root has no life. How could it sustain itself? You know, that's where we learn and study and are in small groups. How can we nurture the plant? And then the thorny ground. I mean, that's the thing with all of us. You know, we are excited about the Lord. That seed has taken root. The seed is there growing. But things of this world just crushes us up. You know, we have good intentions, but our priorities are not straight. You know, we've not prioritized. We've not put God first. We've not put Jesus in the forefront. I mean, He comes whenever, wherever. You know, because we've got to get all this done, and then, well, maybe, you know, we'll have time for Him. He is not at the top. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. I mean, all these things the scripture says. Seek Him first and all these things will fall in its place in your life. No wonder we ask, gosh, you know, what's going on in my life? What's happening? I'm not satisfied. There's something wrong. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will fall in its place. Then, of course, the good soil, the good crop. The one-minute manager, Ken Blanchard, says, there's a difference between interest and commitment. When you are interested in doing something, you do it only when it is convenient. When you are committed to something, you accept no excuse. Good soil represents the company of commitment. You know, committed to the Lord. You're committed to the ministry the Lord has placed in your realm. You want to see that happen. You have that passion. Statistics show that's only like 20% of a group of people. And I hope, you know, all of you are in that 20%. You know, that wanting to bear fruit. Want to see things happen. So my friends, here are those four responses to the faith. I don't care. I got it, but it's not for me. I got it. I want it, but I'm too busy right now. Or I've got it. I want it. Thank God. Thank God for blessing me with it. We are all somewhere in that journey. Only one of these responses, however, will bring us life abundant. He who hears, said Jesus, let him hear. The choice is ours. With all the attitudes, you know, we make the choices. We make those choices. So, let me ask you, are you bearing fruit? How is your garden doing? How is your garden doing? Is there fruit? I'm working with Don and Shirley Orton, and we are kind of put them under pressure to get this thing going for us, and they've been so gracious to do this. I'm kind of piggybacking on the Supper for Eight. Remember we met in groups And we're kind of expanding it a little bit into our neighborhoods with that. Don and Shirley are putting a little a map together. We're trying to group neighborhoods. You know, if you live on a certain street maybe, or if you live on a couple of blocks in that neighborhood, or if you live in a community, you know, sometimes, I mean, there's many of you who come from the outside, West Valley, Arcade, Sardinia, Gowanda. So please don't feel left out. Add to that. I mean, maybe if we don't have, Don and Shirley have a map put together. Okay, so if you don't find yourself, your home, in that map, please put yourself out there. You know, put yourself onto the map. See where the cluster is. See where you are. Who is your neighbor that comes to our church? And we want you to connect to that neighbor, the neighborhood. Okay? And we are hoping by end of the summer, before Labor Day, you would at least meet once with your neighborhood folks that come to church first. You know, who come to church here. I mean, they might be coming at the early service and you might not even know them. So that's why we're putting this map, and you might go to the map and say, oh wow, I didn't realize there are four different families from this neighborhood come to our church. There it is. And if you're not on the map, please put yourself on the map. And if your community is not there, bring us a map of that community, and we'll put it on. You know, when you think about a garden, you know it's a lot of work. It just does not happen, does it? You have to weed, you have to water, you have to nurture and nourish that plant. And that's where this neighborhood group, this neighborhood community would come together. As you get to know each other, you will grow into inviting your neighborhood someday. You will be able to realize, these are the folks that go to our church, but I've not seen so-and-so. Maybe you could connect with them and ask them, I've not seen you in the last 3 months or 6 months. What happened? You might find out there might be a family issue. There might be certain things going on in their lives. And we don't have to wait for 6 months to find out. We'll be able to find out quickly if we get connected with our neighbors. That plant, you need nurturing. You need others to help you grow. We all need others to help us grow in our spiritual walk. And I'm hoping and praying that what we are doing would help us strengthen our roots in Christ Jesus with each other as a community to reach out to our neighbors who do not come inside these walls. So may the Lord help us as we find out who lives in our community. How can we be connected and connected to our Lord? And how can we serve, beginning with our neighborhood? While you ponder this, and while you, the next couple of weeks, you might be able to look at this map that we are putting together, or Don and Shirley are putting together, and find out where you are and connect with your neighborhood. Think about the garden. Think about that seed that you received. I don't know if it was from your parents, a mentor, an aunt or an uncle, when you received the Lord, when you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, when you were baptized, when you connected with the church, I don't know when that seed was planted in your garden. Has it been nurtured? Is it producing fruit? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help each one of us to produce that fruit, that we can bless others and be a blessing to ourselves, to our families, and eventually, you know, be blessed by our Lord. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, the seed that is planted. Lord, we ask for forgiveness of our attitudes. Or just like the seed is planted, Lord, you know, birds come and take it away. Or with our attitude problems, Lord, the roots don't go into the soil. Even if it does, Lord, sometimes the thorns of our culture keeps us down and not let us grow. But Lord, you want us to be fruitful. You want us to be Christ-like in our community, exemplifying your love to our neighbors. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we continue on this summer months that you have given us so graciously. To take this example of gardening, of the seed, to nurture it, to bring it that it will bear fruit and bless not just us, but bless others. And help them, Lord, to see who you are and experience your love in their lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.